Father, we know that you are the architect of history, and we realize that the majority of your word is history written before it happens. And you have done this so that we'll know, Father, that you are indeed the living God. Only God can predict history. And Father, tonight as we unfold the 70th week of Daniel, I pray that it would be a great blessing to us. And I pray that what we do here would magnify Jesus Christ as always. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Welcome you tonight to Glendale Baptist Church. And I invite you to turn to Daniel chapter 9. Turn to Daniel 9. Look at verse 24. And remember, this is the angel Gabriel. And he's answering Daniel's prayer. And Daniel's prayer is, what is going to happen when the time of captivity is over with and we're back in the land? What is going to happen to Israel, to the Jews, and to my city of Jerusalem? That's the essence of his prayer. And so Gabriel now is answering his prayer specifically. So he says, 70 weeks are determined for your people and for your holy city, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall, even in troublesome times. And after 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end of it shall be with a flood. Until the end of the war, desolations are determined. Then he shall confirm a covenant with the many for 1 week. But in the middle of the week he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering, and on the wing of abomination shall one who makes desolate, even until the consummation which is determined is poured out on the desolate. And man, what a difficult passage this is. But may God bless to our hearing the reading of his amazing word. Michael. One of the most amazing prophecies in God's word is what we have come to call the 70th week of Daniel. It's amazing. The Word of God teaches us that God has written history. He's recorded history before it happens. Now, only God could do that in the Bible. So when it happens, number one, we know he's alive. We know that we worship a living God. And if that's true and the Bible is his word, then that means, again, we're not playing church. This is for real. And we are indeed a part of the body of Christ if we know Jesus Christ as our Savior. And all of the other prophecies written in Scripture are going to come to pass, i.e. the rapture of the church, the second coming of Christ, as we call it, the judgment seat of Christ, the marriage supper of the Lamb, the great white throne judgment is coming. All these things are going to happen just exactly the way God said they would happen. And so, last time, remember Daniel 9, we read that Daniel was praying and he had gone into captivity with the scroll of Jeremiah. And he learned from Jeremiah that the captivity was about to come to an end, so he began to pray about what's going to happen to Jerusalem, what's going to happen to the Jews. And so God sent him the angel Gabriel. Remember, he was down on his face before the Lord, and here's the angel in the room, probably touched him on the shoulder, scared him to death. And he said, God sent me as soon as you began to pray with the answer. So now he's going to give us here the answer, and I want to put it on the board up here. A little illustration that you have a copy of in your hand, I call it Cambron's Top Hat. Now, don't ask me why I call it that. That's just went around Bible college when I was there, and Dr. Mark Cambron was a great teacher. taught me a lot of prophecy, and we just kind of fondly call this Cameron's top hat because it kind of looks like the shape of a top hat. You get that idea? Tonight I'm going to fill in Cameron's top hat, and next week I'm going to tell you how we get all this from the passage. But we need to understand some things before we get into the top hat. The prophecy concerns a group of people called the Jews. Now remember, the Bible was written to three different groups of people. It was written to the Jews. In other words, there are some portions in here that was written specifically to the Jews, Jewish people. And it was written secondly to the Gentiles, those who are not Jews. And there's a third group that we call the church or the body of Christ. Those are the three groups that God recognizes today: the Jews, the Gentiles, and the body of Christ. So the Bible was written to those three groups of people. Now, this particular passage was written to the Jews. But as we're going to see, it does concern us, that is, those of us who know Christ as Savior. And it concerns this age in which we live. But the prophecy starts out with the little phrase, 70 weeks. And the key is this little word, week. In the Hebrew, it's the word Shabbat. Now, if we transliterate that, that means we put it in English, it's S-H-A-B-O-T-H, Shabbat. That's the way it's pronounced. Those of us in the Delta, Sabbath. That communicates to me. What about you? Sabbath. But Hebrews say Shabbat. But it's really, it's translated seven. Now, it could be seven of anything. It could be 7 hours, 7 days, 7 weeks, 7 months, or years. And in this case, I'm going to make the case that it's talking about years. Sevens of years, because Daniel was thinking in years in this chapter. If you look back in verses 1 and 2, he's thinking in years. But it's not unusual for that word week to be speaking of years. In fact, the Jews had a calendar of weeks, and the weeks were weeks of years. Let me kind of give you a little illustration of that before we get started. Look back in Genesis. Hold your place in Daniel and look in Genesis. Genesis 29, look in verse 27. This is the story of Rachel and Leah, and you know it very well. Hadn't been too many years we went through this when I first came here. Rachel and Leah, remember Jacob thinks he's getting Rachel, but he wakes up to find that he's married to Leah. Now that's okay. I mean, it was okay with him, but he really was in love with Rachel, and he found out that old Uncle Laban had deceived him. Truth of the matter, they're both deceivers. Jacob means deceiver. And that whole story unfolds, we find out who's going to deceive who, or who's going to deceive whom, I guess you'd say. Uncle Laban, you know, he says he's trying to get as much work out of old Jacob as he possibly can. So he says, look, I wanted you to have Rachel, but it's not right in our custom for you to marry the younger one first. You got to need to marry the elder one first. The elder has to be married first. So if you'll just do this, now look what he says in verse 27. He says, fulfill her what? What is it? Week. Now, he's not talking about 7 days. I'm sure Jacob would hope that he would have been talking about 7 days. He says, fulfill her week, and we will give you this one, that's Leah, also for the service which you will serve with me still another how long? 7 years. So here's the point. The Shabbat is the week, but back in Daniel, it's a week of years. So at the beginning of the prophecy, go back with me now to Daniel. Daniel 9, and we read that Gabriel's words, he starts out 70, here it is, 70 weeks or 70 sevens. And the Hebrew is Shabuim. If you add the little I-im, you make it plural. 70 sevens. So 70 times 7 is how many years? Bring your calculator, 490 years. Now that's the whole length of the prophecy right there. The length of the prophecy is 490 years on Cameron's top hat right there. I want us to get a beginning date tonight, then I'm going to fill this chart out for you. It says 70 weeks are determined for your people and your holy city. We know who the people are. They're the Jews. And we know what the holy city is talking about. We know what that's Jerusalem. So the Jews and Jerusalem, they're the two entities in this prophecy. They're the two, that's the focus of the prophecy. A group of people called the Jews and the holy city of Jerusalem. Okay? That's important to know. We're not talking about the church here. We're talking about Jews and Jerusalem. And that's what Daniel was praying. You know, remember, he's praying, what's going to happen to my people? And what's going to happen to the city of Jerusalem? And so he says, 70 sevens are determined. This word determined is literally decreed. And the word decree here in the Hebrew, the Hebrew is a picture language. It comes from pictures, little pictures drawn. And what he's really saying here is 490 years are cut off for you. In other words, they're set apart for something very special. For the Jews and your people, the Jews and Jerusalem, the holy city. And then he says, forget the finish the transgression, make it innocent. Forget that right now. Let's go down to verse 25. Know therefore and understand, here's what we're looking for here. We want a beginning date over here. We got to have a start of this thing. In other words, a start of the 490 years that's really clear and definite. Where does it start? So let's find out. It says, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command. Now somebody's making a command to somebody. To restore and build Jerusalem. Now the command is going to be to rebuild Jerusalem that has been destroyed by the Babylonians when Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, all of them were taken out. The city was destroyed and the temple was destroyed. So now we need to get a command for that to be rebuilt. And then it says, until Messiah the Prince. Now let's stop right there. Let's get that beginning date. Ezra and Nehemiah are the two, remember, that were sent back from Babylon to rebuild the city and the temple. That's important to understand. Those are the two that were sent back, Ezra and Nehemiah. But look at Nehemiah chapter 2. We're going to get a date here. Here's Nehemiah. He's going in before King Artaxerxes. He's really afraid. I mean, it's always a time of fear when you go in before the king to ask anything, especially if you're a Jew, and especially if you've been in captivity. You're a captive. So he goes in kind of afraid. He's shaken. But he loves Jerusalem so much that he overcomes his fear. He goes in before the king, and before he knows it, he's talking. And this is what he says. Watch. And it came to pass in the month of Nisan, that's March on the Jewish calendar, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, that would be 445 B.C. Where am I getting that? I'm getting that from the Encyclopedia Britannica. That doesn't sound very spiritual, but that's history. We know that. That's where it comes from. We know that when King Artaxerxes reigned in Babylon, Persia literally, and we know his 20th year. It's March, and it's 445 B.C., but let's look what happened here. King Artaxerxes, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was before him, and I took the wine and gave it to the king. This is Nehemiah is the wine bearer. That's not a very glorious thing, because he's also the king's taster. And there's a lot of people trying to poison that dude. But you've got to eat everything he eats. How about that? That wouldn't be one of those jobs that you'd seek after. Before he eats it, you got to taste it. How'd you like to have that job? If the king doesn't have any enemies, you'd be fine. Now, I had never been sad in his presence before. Therefore, the king said to me, why is your face sad, since you are not sick? This is nothing but sorrow of heart. So I became dreadfully afraid. Now he's talking again before the king. Now, you know, in one word, the king can have his head. And said to the king, "May the king live forever. Why should my face not be sad when the city, the place of my father's tombs, lies waste, and its gates are burned with fire?" Then the king said to me, "What do you request?" So I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said to the king, "If it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, I ask that you send me to Judah, to the city of my father's tombs, that I may rebuild it." There it is. Now we're getting the idea. Then the king said to me, the queen also sitting beside him, "How long will your journey be, and when will you return?" So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. Furthermore, I said to the king, "If it pleases the king, let letters be given to me for the governors of the region beyond the river, that they must permit me to pass through till I come to Judah. And a letter to Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he must give me timber to make beams for the gates of the citadel, which pertains to the temple, for the city wall, and for the house that I will occupy." And the king granted them to me according to the good hand of my God upon me. Now, we have the answer to our first question. The time of the beginning of the prophecy, Gabriel said, know that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and rebuild Jerusalem. And if we do the math, we know it's March, we know it's 445 BC, but we need a day. And if no day is given in the Hebrew, it's always the first day of the month, but the first day of the Jewish month is not the first day of our month. We're working with a different calendar than the Jews. They have a 360-day year. So what we have here is March the 14th, 445 B.C. There you have it. That's the beginning date. So if you could do this in your mind, if you were God and you could say, a stopwatch, I'm going to click a stopwatch now, right here. Boom, this is when this prophecy begins. That's the beginning date. Now we got to go 490 years down, and that ends it. We're going to come up with a different time segment of 483 years. Verse 26, "And after 62 sevens," we're going to find out 60 and two sevens, literally. That's going to end up 483 years. "Messiah," you got it right, "Jesus shall be cut off." Symbolic language in the Hebrew for crucified, right? He's going to be cut off. So Messiah's cut off, but something amazing happens when Messiah's cut off. When Jesus died on the cross, God hit the stopwatch again. Click. And time for Israel was placed on hold. Jesus is now seated at the right hand of the Father. He did something amazing. He sent, as promised, God the Holy Spirit. Remember that? And he sent the Holy Spirit to begin to build the body of Jesus Christ. We call that the day of Pentecost. That's the birthday of the church. God was forming a new creation where Jew and Gentile were becoming one body now. Paul calls this in Ephesians 3 a mystery. A mystery. And it was a mystery. We're living in a time now it's mysterious. It's called the age of the church. God is doing something miraculous. He is building, he's the bride of Christ. He's calling out from among the nations a bride for his son. Isn't that good? Now that doesn't have anything to do with Israel. Remember, Israel's been put on hold. And we're living in a time, we're going to call this the age of the church. That's where we're living right now. And God is calling out both Jew and Gentile, and he's putting us into one body. That's an amazing thing. And the prophets, when they look forward, they never saw this. That's why Paul says it's a mystery. That's why God set Paul apart as his witness to the Gentiles. Remember, he preached the gospel to Jews, Acts 13. Remember that passage, Acts 13. And the Jews says, we don't want that gospel. We don't want what you're teaching. So he says, okay, you can go ahead and, you're obstinate. You don't want the gospel. I'll turn my attention to whom? The Gentiles. And they began to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when both Jew or Gentile believed in Him, they were placed into Christ and were forming now the church. Boy, that's a fantastic understanding. We're living in what is called a mystery age. And you know what we're looking for? We're looking for what we call the second coming of Christ. When Jesus comes back to the earth, He's coming back to get us. We're looking for Him. We're looking for what we call the rapture. And that's 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. And that simply says, the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. But look as you will, it's hard to find that word rapture in the Bible. But the word caught up is in the Bible. The words caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And the Latin for that word caught up is the word raptura. And that's where we get the old Delta word, the rapture. That's where it comes from. But the teaching of the catching up of the body of Christ is there. Well, as soon as the body of Christ is caught up, we're gone to be with the Lord. We're no longer here. Every member of the body of Christ will be with Jesus Christ. He's not going to have half a bride. He's not going to have three-fourths of a bride. He's going to have a whole bride. The whole bride is going to be taken to meet the bridegroom in the air. And then we're off and run into what is called the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's in heaven, shortly after the catching up, shortly after the bridegroom comes for his bride. And over here, we're going to have the judgment seat of Christ. And that's that passage that we've been through a lot, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, Romans chapter 14, verse 10, talking about the judgment seat of Christ. Now, we'll be judged for our sins, right? Don't shake your head yes, because you're wrong if you are. We're not going to be judged for our sins. Where were our sins judged? At Calvary. Were there going to be double law of double jeopardy? Are we going to be judged again? Never. How many sins did Jesus pay for? All of them. Over here, this judgment, it's for our works, that is, our stewardship, how we've carried out our ministry. And there'll be going to be crowns given there. We're going to be judged for how we have carried out that which God has equipped us to carry out. Finish the course. I've kept the faith. I've done my job. We've been calling it in Hebrews our work of faith. We're going to be judged for that one day, right there. It's going to take place in heaven shortly after we're there. But what I want you to see is now the church is gone. We're no longer here. It's 7 years. That's called the 70th week of Daniel. Now that's very important. That's verse 27 in this passage. 1 week, 7 years. Now, it's amazing that that 7 years, if you add it to the 483 plus 7, you get what? Here's what's so amazing, and I want you to see this, because if you see it and you catch it in your mind, you see how smart God is. God's the genius. Because when we are raptured out of here, we're gone. It's going to be, as far as Israel is concerned, like we were never here. That's the mystery. So Daniel's prophecy is going to be fulfilled exactly as God said it would, 490 years complete. In other words, He moved this 7 years right here out into history. It's future. It hasn't occurred yet. But God in His genius is going to move it back. Once the church leaves the planet, He's going to plug it back in for what group of people? The Jews. That's why they're struggling in Israel. They're looking for a leader. Right now, they're looking for somebody to pull them together give them some direction, and really give them some peace. Benjamin Netanyahu, he's trying to work out a peace deal, and he knows it's never going to happen. He knows that. With the Palestinians, it's not going to happen. It takes two parties to negotiate, and you can't negotiate with the Palestinians. It's not going to work. He knows that at the outset. But what is his choice right now? I mean, he can't continue to live in fear over there. He's going to have some kind of way to live in some sort of peace, even if it's a shaky peace at best. That's what's happening now in Israel. They're looking for a leader. They're looking for somebody that can pull this thing together. And the Bible says, you know, like in Isaiah, all those prophecies concerning about Jerusalem or Israel and the land blossoming like a rose. And man, we're going to see some amazing things happen. And they're going to happen, but they're going to happen in what we've come to call the millennium or the thousand-year reign of Christ. But that 7 years is what we talked about in the book of the unveiling, the revelation from chapter 5 to chapter 19, unfolded those 7 years in detail. Remember those judgments that we saw passed out? Those judgments that was thrown out of heaven by the Lord Jesus and judging the people. He was purging Israel and preparing them for their Messiah to come back. And he was punishing those nations that were coming against Israel. And then we found the Antichrist, and he came on the scene. And when Jesus was here, did the Jews accept him? No. What did they do? They rejected him, and not only that, they helped the Romans to crucify him. But when the Antichrist comes, and he presents himself as the Messiah, you know what they're going to do? They're going to accept him hook, line, and sinker. They're going to say, it's him, he's come, and he's going to promise peace. He's going to make an agreement with them for 7 years. That's what we're going to see next week. Beautiful. He's going to lay this thing out. He's going to make a 7-year peace agreement with Israel, a covenant, it's called. He's going to cut a covenant with them. And they're going to believe it. But in the middle of the covenant, in the middle of the 7 years, 3.5 years into the program, he's going to expose himself. Look down in verse 27. Now we're going to be talking about two princes here. One is the Messiah, the prince, and the other is this prince, this Roman prince that's to come. Now, you're confused, I know, as a termite and a yo-yo. I know that. But I promise you, I will unconfuse you. We'll put it together in pieces so that you will not be confused. Okay? But we got two princes we're talking about, and this prince is a Roman prince, and it says he, talking about in verse 27, shall confirm a covenant with the many for 1 week, 7 years. But in the middle of the week, he shall bring an end to the sacrifice and offering. Now watch this carefully. Look at it carefully. I said, yeah, I know. I've been trying for years. It's hard. But the English does suffice. Let me show you how. Watch. It says, he shall bring an end to the sacrifice and offering. Look, on the wing of abominations shall be one who makes desolate, even until the consummation which is determined is poured out on the desolate. Boy, that's hard to understand. But catch the words, abomination and desolation. Those words are buzzwords here. They're important words. Let me show you why. Look over in Matthew 24. Jesus is answering the question from the disciples, Lord, when are you coming back? What shall be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And look in Matthew 24, look in verse 15. Jesus says, here's the key, he says, to understanding my second coming. He's talking to Israel. Therefore, when you see, now notice, the abomination of what? Desolation, spoken of by whom? Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place. Whosoever reads, let him understand. Now here's what he's saying. This abomination of desolation, whoever that prince is one day going to stand in the holy place. He's going to desecrate the temple. And Jesus said, when you see that, then my second coming is right around the corner. That would be literally what he's saying. I'm coming back soon. When you see that event take place. What I'm saying is that event is yet future. It hasn't happened yet. but one day it's going to happen. That means the temple is going to be rebuilt one day. And this Antichrist, this beast, is going to desecrate the temple. And that all takes place right in here. 7 years. And I say to people, don't complicate the book of the unveiling. Don't complicate the book of the Revelation. It's not complicated. It's talking about three different forms of judgment. Three different forms of judgment being poured out on Israel to purge them and prepare them for the Messiah, the second coming of Christ. But the key is this abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet. That's what ties that 70th week of Daniel into the future. And that's what this is all about right here. But here's the idea of the rapture. Let's point up right here. We're taken out of here. That's the arrow pointing up. We're taken out. We face the judgment seat of Christ. We go to the marriage supper of the Lamb. But here Jesus comes back with His church. That's us. But He's coming back this time to take care of the beast and the false prophet and Satan right here. I'm going to do them in. Going to do them in. And then we're going to have 1,000 years of peace on the earth right here. We call this the millennium, 1,000 years. And that 1,000 years will end with what's called the Great White Throne Judgment. Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. We have 1,000 years of peace right here. That's the kingdom. That's the essence of what Daniel is receiving. So imagine he went away thinking, man, this is great. This is great. I know the future. But what Daniel didn't know and didn't realize is the time in which we live right now. He didn't realize it's going to be 2,000 years, over 2,000 years now, of time that's taken place while God is building His church. That's why Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, upon this truth, upon my identity I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it, in Matthew 16. Where Peter, you know, he says, who do you men say that I am? Peter says, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, upon that truth I'll build my church, my identity. What a picture. And there you have the whole layout. That's it. If the Jew had done the math, they could have actually calculated when Jesus was going to ride into Jerusalem on the donkey, prophesied in Zechariah 7:7. They could have. And that's why Jesus said, if you had known this, your day. But you didn't. The implications, you could have known it. It's there for you. You could have known it. But we're going to see, we could have prophesied exactly when the crucifixion was going to take place. It's amazing. April the 6th, AD 32. That's the very day it comes down to. March the 14th, 445 BC to April the 6th, AD 32. Father, thank you for our time tonight. I pray that this overview would help us as we begin to break down and put this little prophecy together piece by piece. The 49 years to rebuild the city. The 420 years. The 14 years. The 483 years. The 490 years, Father, it's all there and it's clear. And I pray as we do the math and we put it into our calendar and we see just what kind of a genius you are, Father, I pray that it would quicken our pulse. I pray that it would bring into our mind joy and a great blessing. And we could see that this is really real. It's really real. And you're who you claim to be. And the Lord Jesus Christ did give Himself as one who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. What a joy to know Him. And Father, this morning, as we said this morning, I pray that we would learn to realize that you're putting us through tests and examinations all the time to test our faith, to strengthen our faith, to make us stronger, to use us in your work and for your glory. Father, I pray to that end with every believer in this room. Thank you for our time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hymn number 3.